واتخذ قوم موسى من بعده من حليهم عجلا جسدا له خوار ألم يروا أنه لا يكلمهم ولا يهديهم سبيلا اتخذوه وكانوا ظالمين.
And in the absence of Moses, his people made the image of a calf from their ornaments, which lowed. Did they not observe that it could neither speak nor give them any guidance? And still they made it an object of worship. They were indeed wrongdoing. And in the absence of Moses, peace be upon him. Here, reference is made to the 40 days which Moses spent on Mount Sinai in compliance with God's command when his people remained in the plain at the foot of the mountain called Medan al-Raha. And still, they made it an object of worship. They were indeed wrongdoing. Their cow worship was another manifestation of the Israelites' slavish attachment to the Egyptian traditions at the time of the Exodus. It is well known that cow worship was widespread in Egypt, and it was during their stay there that the Israelites developed this strange infatuation. The Quran also refers to their inclination to cow worship. Their hearts were overflowing with love for the calf because of their unbelief. Al-Baqarah 2:93. What is more surprising about their turn to idolatry is that it took place just 3 months after their escape from Egypt. During that time, they had witnessed the parting of the sea, the drowning of Pharaoh, and their own deliverance from what otherwise seemed inescapable slavery to the Egyptians. They knew well that all those events had taken place owing to the unmistakable and direct interference of the all-powerful God. Yet, they had the audacity to demand that their prophet should make for them a false god that they might worship. Not only that, soon after Moses, peace be upon him, left them for Mount Sinai, they themselves contrived a false god. Disgusted with such conduct on the part of the Israelites, some prophets have likened their people to a nymphomaniac who loves all save her husband and who is unfaithful to him even on their nuptial night.
وَلَمَّا سُقِطَ فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ وَرَأَوْا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ ضَلُّوا قَالُوا لَئِنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْنَا رَبُّنَا وَيَغْفِرْ لَنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
And when they were afflicted with remorse and realized that they had fallen into error, they said, "If our Lord does not have mercy on us and does not pardon us, we shall be among the losers."
وَلَمَّا رَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَى قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا قَالَ بِئْسَ مَا خَلَفْتُمُونِي مِنْ بَعْدِي أَعَجِلْتُمْ أَمْرَ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَلْقَى الْأَلْوَاحَ وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِيهِ يَجُرُّهُ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ ابْنَ أُمَّ إِنَّ الْقَوْمَ اسْتَضْعَفُونِي وَكَادُوا يَقْتُلُونَنِي فَلَا تُشْمِتْ بِيَ الْأَعْدَاءِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
And when Moses, peace be upon him, returned to his people, full of wrath and sorrow, he said, "Vile is the course you have followed in my absence. Could you not patiently wait for the decree of your Lord?" And he threw down the tablets of the law and took hold of his brother's head, dragging him to himself. Aaron, peace be upon him, said, "My mother's son, the people overpowered me and almost killed me. So let not my enemies gloat over me, and do not number me among the wrongdoing folk."
So let not my enemies gloat over me, and do not number me among the wrongdoing folk.
The above Quranic verse absolves Aaron, peace be upon him, of the charge leveled against him by the Jews. According to the biblical version of the story of calf worship, however, it was Aaron, peace be upon him, who had made the golden calf for the people of Israel. To quote, When the people saw that Moses, peace be upon him, delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, peace be upon him, and said to him, Up, make up gods who shall go before us. As for this, Moses, peace be upon him, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron, peace be upon him, said to them, Take off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron, peace be upon him. And he received the gold at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, and made a molten calf. And they said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, peace be upon him, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Exodus 32:1-6. The Quran, however, refutes the above account at many places and points out that it was Samiri, the rebel of God, rather than Aaron, peace be upon him, the prophet, who committed that heinous sin. For details, see Taha 20:90. Strange though it may appear, the Israelites maligned the characters of those very people whom they believed to be the messengers of God. The accusations they hurled at them induced such heinous sins as polytheism, sorcery, fornication, deceit, and treachery. Needless to say, indulgence in any of these sins is disgraceful for even an ordinary believer and decent human being, let alone prophets. In the light of the history of Israeli morals, however, it is quite understandable why they maligned their own prophets. In times of religious and moral degeneration, when both the clergy and laity were steeped in sin and immorality, they tried to seek justification for their misdeeds. In order to sedate their own consciences, they ascribed the very sins of which they were guilty to their prophets, and then their own inability to refrain from sins on the grounds that not even the prophets could refrain. The same characteristic is evident in Hinduism. When the Hindus reached the lowest point in their moral degeneration, they produced a literature which presents a very perverted image of Hindu ideals. This literature portrayed their gods, hermits, and monks as crass sinners. In doing so, they suggested that since such noble people could not refrain from indulging in grave sins, ordinary mortals are inevitably bound to commit them. Moreover, a person's indulgence in immoral acts should not make him remorseful, for the same acts were committed earlier by their monks and hermits.
قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِأَخِي وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ
Thereupon Moses, peace be upon him, said, O Lord, Grant forgiveness upon me and my brother, and admit us to your mercy, for you are most merciful of the merciful.